and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You, O Lord, kept a record of sins. O Lord, who could see?
But when you give grace for forgiveness, therefore you are here.
Since we are here gathered to hear God's word, to call upon Him in prayer and in praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we've sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful. Be a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy on us.
Forgive us our sins
and lead us to everlasting life.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you. And for His sake, He forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I now forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We chant the intro of the day together.
Yes.
mighty and everlasting Father, you give your children many blessings, even though we are undeserving. In every trial and temptation, grant us steadfast confidence in your loving kindness and mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading today comes from the book of Isaiah, 56th chapter. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. For soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance will be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, minister to him, to the love of the name of the Lord, and to be his servants. Everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offering and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathered the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him, besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today comes from the 67th chapter, and we will read it responsibly. May God be gracious to us and bless us,
and make his face to shine upon us,
that your way may be known on earth,
your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity in the eye of the nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase.
God, our God, shall bless us.
God shall bless us.
Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
The epistle today comes from the book of Romans, the 11th chapter. I ask then, has God rejoiced his people, rejected his people? By no means, for I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now I'm speaking to you, Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to be disobedient, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you're able, I invite you to stand in honor of Jesus' words, and as we sing the Alleluia. St. Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she's crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Having heard God's word, we confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of the earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all. God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our sin and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, and he will have our land. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I am the creation of sin. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the Lord to come. Amen.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In recent days, there's been an alarming resurgence of hatred of this ethnic group or that ethnic group. One of them, anti-Semitism or hate for a Jewish people and their ethnicity, I don't get. I've never understood it. Old prejudices have returned against those who, by birth, are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. One would think that the events of the 20th century, especially the Holocaust during World War II, would have finally brought about a never again. But in recent times, even elected representatives of the United States Congress have spoken out against those who are Jews. When Paul wrote his letter to the Romans, it must have seemed to Gentile Christians that the grace of God, previously available to the Jews, was no longer available to them, but was only for the Gentiles. The number of Gentile Christians was growing. It was tempting to think that the Jews were no longer God's favored people. In Gentile eyes, it appeared God had rejected Israel. In Romans, Paul, a Jew and a former Pharisee, now called by God to be apostle to the Gentiles, responds emphatically, "May it never be. For God rejects no one, but bestows his gifts on all who turn to him in belief." Although Israel was disobedient in the past, God's plan for them remained. The history of Israel is well known. Chosen by God as his people, through whom the Messiah would come and bless all of the nations of the world, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob dreamed to see Christ's coming, even though they would be slaves in Egypt for hundreds of years. God gave to his people Moses to lead them to the land he promised. Along the way, they received God's law and covenant that he would be with them and bless them with his presence if they kept his commands. But they didn't obey. They didn't keep God's commandments. And shortly after being delivered from Pharaoh and witnessing the destruction of the Egyptian army in the Red Sea, Israel turned away from God and formed an idol for themselves. Later, they grumbled against Moses and God. God sent snakes, and a bronze serpent was put up on a pole so that all who looked at it were saved. And then, upon reaching the promised land, Israel doubted that God would help them defeat the idolatrous occupants and take possession. So once in the land, they desired a king rather than God. And eventually, they turned to false gods, which they were supposed to have gotten rid of. The prophets warned, yet God's people continued to disobey. He used Gentile nations to conquer and destroy them. Over and over again, people were taken into captivity, and they wondered how this could have happened to them. God could have easily let them sit in exile and rot, but he did not. After 70 years, they were able to return home. But back in the land, the Jews appeared less and less to be God's chosen people set apart for any higher purpose. Eventually, even the prophets spoke no more. Had God given up on his people? Had he cast them aside, even as they had rejected him in time after time throughout their history? Did God's patience wear out? Was his mercy withdrawn? No. In the book of 1 Kings, we read how the prophet Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal and then had them all slain. But afterward, he fled for his own life because the wicked Queen Jezebel sought to kill him. Elijah went into hiding and spoke against Israel to God. He was convinced that he was the only faithful Israelite left. And he preferred just to die. But remember the surprising word God had for Elijah? He was not alone. 7,000 remained who had not bent the knee to Baal to worship. Such faithfulness counts in God's eyes. And although not a part of the reading for today, Paul uses the example of Elijah in this chapter to the Romans, beginning with the second half of verse 2, and God shows grace. There remained in Israel in Elijah's day a remnant, a group of people faithful to God. In his letter to the Romans, Paul is certain that God has not rejected Israel. After all, he himself is a living example of God's mercy. After all, no one persecuted the church more than he had as he went about hunting down Christians. His conversion to Christianity changed everything. Not only was he called to faith in Christ, but he became the Lord's apostle to the Gentiles. And for that, he had to suffer. Paul would learn that God had a plan for salvation for all humankind, and it included Jews like himself, as well as Gentiles. God's grace is for all people. The Jews sinned by rejecting God's grace and reliance on their own righteousness, the righteousness of their own making. Theirs had become works of the law. By their works, they were never able to acquire God's grace for themselves, for it's a free gift. It's a gift of God through Jesus Christ. It turned out, though, that the rejection of Israel brought salvation to the nations. Gentile Christians who repented of their sins, especially the pagan idolatry that was so much a part of the Roman world and who turned in faith to Christ, were now recipients of God's free grace. Paul tells the Gentile Christians not to make the same mistake in Israel. He cautions them about sinful pride in having received mercy. Paul says, "Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Just as the Jews looked down on the Gentiles, relying on their grace and works and making them into the special people of God, now the Gentiles were also not to look upon the Jews and consider them as rejected." The epistle reading for today is taken from verses at the beginning, the middle, and the end of chapter 11. It's here that Paul deals with salvation for the Jews. In chapters 1 through 8 of Romans, Paul builds up the theme of righteousness of God and faith. And now in chapters 9, 10, and 11, they are about Paul's love for his fellow Jews and his concern for their salvation. He says, "I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them." Beginning of the letter, Paul speaks right away about the gospel. It is the good news that God had promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. He further points out that God's plan to save all people was to happen through the Jews. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. Paul seeks to show early on that there are no advantages because of race or nationality. The message is there is no privilege, no matter what the color of the skin. Are we Jews any better off, Paul says? No, not at all. We have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. The great theme of this letter, righteousness by faith, is behind our reading for today. Paul wants to preclude all kinds of human works for salvation. For the Jews, it was their dependence on the law and striving to obtain righteousness that was their disobedience. For the Greeks, who obtained grace by the disobedience of the Jews, they were to see that their salvation comes by the mercy of God shown to them. Paul's emphasis then is on election. We see then that Paul had to address the difficult question that all Christians face at some time. If a person rejects Christ, is it because that person was first rejected by God? There isn't a doctrine in the Bible more misused than that of election. Those who don't join with Luther and see that righteousness through faith in Christ is a gift, they are tempted to strive to obtain it by works or blame God when it seems that there are those who get cast away. That we join Paul in saying, by no means. But returning to Israel, God mysteriously tells us that Jacob he loved and Esau he did not, although both came from the same promise. How can this be that he is not meant for human minds either to understand or explain? Paul himself, compelled by the depth of it, penned the great hymn of praise of the riches and wisdom of the knowledge of God at the end of the chapter of this reading. God's plan of mercy is a mystery, but it includes all who believe. Although Paul was sent to the Gentiles, he always went first to his fellow Jews. When they rejected him, is going to the Gentiles through the church. Now in Romans 11, though, the apostle St. Paul speaks again about the Jews. Now about the Jews being jealous of the Gentiles, Paul observes how the grace of God to the Gentiles was causing Jews who had rejected both Christ and the gospel to become jealous of Gentile Christians. They saw what had been given to them, that is God's mercy and grace, now going to the Gentiles, albeit through faith. Normally we don't think of jealousy as a good thing, but in this case it worked for good, drawing the Jews into God's salvation through Jesus Christ. We don't usually think of God using reverse psychology, but this sure looks like it. And who better than God to know how humans think? The salvation of all people is in the cross of Jesus. Jesus was handed over to wicked men to be crucified. On the cross, he became a sacrifice for the payment of sin. Through Christ, the Father was reconciling himself to the world. And he arose. He appeared to the apostles and to as many as 500 of his followers. Then he ascended to the Father, and whoever believes in him has life on his name. God's gifts and his calling are irrevocable. God works out his plan one way or another to fulfill his desire to show mercy to all people. Because there is just one race, the human race. This mercy shown to us compels us, like Paul, earnestly to pray and to preach and proclaim Christ to all people so that all may believe and be saved. Amen. And the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he returns again in glory. Amen. If you're able, I invite you to stand as we say prayers for the church.
Let us pray to the Lord for all that we need and on behalf of all people, that he may bestow upon us the riches of his grace, and that we may receive his gifts with faith and thanksgiving in our hearts. For true unity in the faith, for the perseveration of the pure doctrine, for harmony in the lives of our congregation, district, and synagogue, and for the charitable hearts that we put the best instruction on what we see and hear. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those outside the kingdom, for missionaries near and far, for the ministries and the agencies of our church, whereby the gospel is spoken to those who have not heard, and for those who hear, that they may be brought to faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all pastors and church workers, for those preparing for full-time church work, and for those considering church work vocations, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families, for husbands and wives who live in faithfulness to each other, for all mothers and child, for all children, and for those who bring them to baptism and nurture them in the faith, let us pray to the Lord. For our president, the Congress, our governor, and all elected and appointed leaders, all judges and magistrates, the members of the armed forces and our police, firefighters, and emergency medical personnel in their duties to protect and serve us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the healing of the sick, the relief of the suffering, the comfort of the grieving, and the peace of the dying, especially those who we request in our prayers and for those who we now name in our hearts. For those who care for their afflictions, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy assembly and for our communion upon the Lord's body and blood, and for us to bear in our lives the fruits of the Spirit and do the good works for which we are created, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all honest work and occupations, for our good use of the fruits of our labors, for the generosity of those in need, and for the tithes and offerings that accompany our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our remembrance of the saints, and in the thanksgiving for their faithful witness, that at the last we may be joined with them in your eternal presence, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, giver of all good that is good, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your grace that we may endure the changes and chances of this mortal life and be found worthy when our Savior comes to bring to completion all things. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Join in singing the Common Doxology, hymn 8.